Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hello, kids. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday we release these special episodes where we look back at content from our earlier years, sometimes single stories, sometimes whole episodes. Keep in mind that years ago, people might have worded things differently than they would today. As always, the title of the whole series, Risk, is itself a content warning. This week, a story that David Koechner first shared on the podcast in September of 2014. Here's David now with a story we call The General.
I remember in sixth grade, a student teacher came to our class. I'm from a small town in Missouri. And the thing that he talked about is a little bit remarkable in that it was very political. The thing that was the most seared in my brain was he said, what you should do in life is replace only you and your spouse, because there are limited natural resources in this world and we keep growing as a global population, and the way to keep it in check was just replace you and your spouse. And that really hit me. I was like, oh, that, you know what, that makes absolute sense. I remember that's what I digested from that talk. My wife and I have 5 children. Here's how it happened. I got married at 33. I waited. My wife was 30. We went through a lot. And we got engaged. We bought a house together before we were married. And like, because, you know, that's it. I'm in, right? So my wife was on the pill, and I'd been aware that people have these fertility problems. And I thought, well, she's been on the pill for probably 12, 13 years. And it'll probably take a while to flush the system. So she goes off the pill before we get married. And I'm thinking in my mind, because I think I can divine how things will happen, it'll probably take a year to get pregnant. Well, it didn't. We got married in June, and we were pregnant in September, which to me is like, oh, that changes my plan. I thought we're going to have this year of like, hey, let's find out what we're like together as a married couple, maybe travel. But no, we're pregnant, so that, all right, let's do things differently. Okay, so we'd have had a beautiful pregnancy. Everything was going great. And about 5 weeks before she was to give birth, she was spotting, which means uncomfortably for the room. There was blood coming from her vagina. I said vagina to kind of curtail, take the edge off of it just a little bit. So she'd been working at this point because she kept saying, hey, when can I quit working? And I'm like, when the baby's born. Let's keep cash coming in as much as we can. So now she's on bed rest. Okay, great. You're done working. Well, later that night, she wakes up. She goes to the bathroom. She felt this sensation. She thought her water broke. And then she turned the light on. It's like, oh, my water didn't break. There's a lot of blood in the stool. So she wakes me up, and I'm like, oh, okay, we're going. Here we go. We're going to go to the hospital. We have to go to the hospital. We live in the hipster area of town, the valley. And so we're going to Cedars. So we go over, get there, boom. They rush her into the delivery room. And the doctor rushes in and looks at me. And I thought, wow, why is she so panicked? And then they get me in the scrubs, and I go in there. And so it's going to be an emergency C-section because she's not quite due. So they put the little curtain between the operation and us, and we're back there. And boom, the baby's out quickly. I go over. I had a – and this was in 1999 before smartphones. So I had an instant camera. What were they called? Disposable camera. Why am I asking you guys? You don't know what that is. Take a picture. I'm heading back to my wife's side, and I noticed the doctor, I caught her eye, so they're still furiously working. My son is born. He's over there. They're cleaning him up. I'm going back over here. She looks up at me like this. And my thought, my honest to God thought was, are you stealing something? Her organs are splayed out over her belly, and I'm like, what's going on there? Is my wife's uterus filled with gold? And you're like, hmm. Well, as it turned out, my wife was starting to bleed to death because we had a very rare thing, and by virtue of you hearing this conversation, you will never have this sensation, I hope. It's so rare, it's like one in a million, and let's face it, you're not. You're one in a billion. There's a rare thing called placenta accreta, where the placenta grows into the uterus. Normally, it just goes up to the uterus and goes, when the baby's born, it says, hey, man, thanks for the ride. I got to cut. But in placenta accreta, it does this. Hey, man, why don't you all come with me? So it's like 1,000 holes have been cut into the uterine wall. And so we're back there kind of going, what's happening? This should be over, right? And they're furiously working, and we're hanging out behind the curtain, making jokes and sometimes praying. And they kind of let us know, they're like, something's going on, you're bleeding, it's not exactly what we expected, blah, blah, blah. So long story short, 3.5 hours on the operating table, they finally say, listen, we're going to have to take your uterus or you're going to die. And I'm thinking, yeah, take that uterus, because I sure as fuck am not going to raise that kid by myself. So they take her uterus, she lives, it's a really weird experience, everything. They do it and sew her back up, and then you're left alone in the operating room. You're like, wow, the chaos is over, we're just here, and then someone has to come in and count the sponges before you're allowed to go out. Really for malpractice reasons. Anyway, next morning we wheeled up there to the top room. Doctor comes in like, well, thank God you're alive, which I'm thinking is like, okay. All right, you're staving off a lawsuit for whatever the fuck happened the night before. Well, good news, bad news. Good news, you're alive. Bad news, you don't have a uterus anymore. But other good news is you still have your ovaries. Because if you remember from your, I don't know, eighth grade biology, maybe sophomore year, your ovaries are on the outside of your uterus, and they look somewhat like upside down calamari, like this. And then there they are. They're still there. So good luck. You can have more children of your own. Oh, okay, great. Well, one was pretty traumatic, so I'm not sure if I want to do that again at all, ever. So during Charlie's first year of life, my wife, Lee, started investigating surrogacy because that's the way it was going to have to happen for us. So she gets online, furiously looking. We meet a bunch of weird people online who are potential surrogates. I remember the best, my favorite was we were supposed to meet a couple in San Diego at a park. So Charlie is just a year old, and we go down to San Diego, we go to some park, and we're waiting, and then some sketchy van just takes off. I'm like, I don't think this is the way we should do this. So here's what you normally do it. You go to an agency, right? And what you do is you go to an agency, and you get a pickup truck full of money, and you back it up, and you leave it there. And you go, okay, hey, why don't you introduce us to a person who can carry a child for us? Like, okay, now you can come in. So you do that, and then you write your story, your book of why you have to have a surrogate, and then they actually pick you. They go, blah, blah, blah. So someone picks us, and we go out. Then you're supposed to go on a first date with the potential surrogate couple. And a surrogate has to have already successfully carried a child. And so that's we know that that uterus is a good working uterus. So we meet this couple. We go to a Chili's. We pay, of course. And they agree, like, oh, yeah. So after whatever, they say, yes, it's them. And so then the next step is you go, and my wife has to have her eggs extracted from her ovum. And then my part of the job is, the clinical term is, I have to extract cum from my cock. So it's on the same day. They wheel her into a room, and they're taking eggs from. We had to go through fertility stuff, like you take shots for a while to increase the number of eggs that can drop that particular month. And meanwhile, your surrogate is taking some hormones to get a nice thick lining on her uterus. just so you know, guys, you don't get to have sex with the surrogate. But what you do get to do, guys, because you had to go do your business, jerk off in a sterile room. Sterile. I'm from Missouri. Is you get to buy pornography and without consequence. You don't have to hide it. You're like, yeah, I got a backpack full of porn. You bring it into the room. And so I'm in the jerk off room. And you've got your porn that you haven't looked at, guys, because you want to keep that fresh seal on it. And they give you this medical tray, and they've also provided a couple of videos and a magazine. And now, fellas, you haven't jerked off in like 4 or 5 days, and you're like, I can't wait to get at this thing. And then a nurse comes from, I'm going to call it a nurse. I'm assuming it's a nurse. It happened to be a female. She gives you this little container that looks like a urine sample container, but we all know now that this is a cum container. It's got a nice wide mouth, nice cup, so you're like, all right, it's already pre-filled out. Your name, all that stuff was on there. You go to business, you're looking through your backpack, what am I going to use? But you're drawn, of course, to the well-worn penthouse from 1992. Because that's the one you can't take home. You're like, well, I'm only going to look at this now. So you start flipping through. You're like getting your business going. You're like, oh, fuck. Oh, before you know it, you're like popping off. Now, I'm not going to show you how that part works. I'm going to assume this is mostly an adult crowd, and you know how this thing goes. The hardest part of that is getting it in the, I'm going to say it's about 1.5 inches. Is that 2 inches? You know what a urine sample cup looks like? It's about like that. You're like, you got to get it in there. Now, the thing is, your penis is up this way. So, the thing that helps you ejaculate even more is you pretend that that nurse has cracked the door just this much and is watching you. So, I deliver my semen into this cup, close it, and hand it to the woman who's right there on the other side of the door. And I'm like, yeah, she was watching. Peruse the magazine. Wow, I could have gone there. Okay, anyway, so I'm done. Now, my wife's eggs are waiting on the other side in some Petri dish or something, I'm guessing. And I don't know how the procedure works. My guess is that they take the lid off, and then the nurse probably, you know, you got maybe 3 or 4 dishes of ovum there, and she probably does, you know, that. So on that day, we created 11 embryos, 11 more potential little Keckners. They take the first 3 live embryos, they call them fresh, and they transfer them into the surrogate. My guess is something like this. Mama wants another baby, let's go. So they transfer those to the surrogate. They freeze the other 8 in 2 separate pods or whatever. I'm going to say test tube, tubes, all right? As luck would have it, we got pregnant right away, 1. And we 9 months later, 10 months later, actually, guys, it's 10 months. The gestation cycle of the human is 10 months. We keep saying 9 months. I don't know why we're cheating these ladies out of one painful month, but it's 10. Okay. So 10 months later, we go and boom, we've got our daughter Margot, which is amazing, right? Now we have a boy and a girl. That's a pair. We're done. Right, honey? That's what we're supposed to do, replace you and your spouse on this planet. My wife goes, uh-huh. We have that, but we have those other babies. Like what? Other babies? The ones that are frozen now. Those are babies. Oh, we never talked about that. There's so many important conversations to have in life. That's a pretty big one. Like, okay, well, they're frozen. What are the chances, right? So a couple years after Margo was born, I know, cool name, Charlie and Margo now, my wife says, let's do it again. And I said, why not? Because here's the thing. So there's the agency gets a fee, and of course the surrogate gets a fee. Oh, I forgot to mention, there's a 25-page contract that comes along with the surrogacy, and you also pay for her lawyer. Conflict of interest? I don't know. Whatever. So you've got all these things. The contract includes everything down to how many Diet Dr. Peppers they can have a day. Right, it's all everything, clothes allowance, babysitter allowance, clean, all, everything, you actually have to adopt your own child before it's born because it goes with a live birth mother, and then the nurses there get really like, what's going on? You're going to take this baby? Hold on, what? And like, here's a fucking lawyer. It's going to have my fucking child. Okay, don't. This isn't 1982 and the time. A case that gets in the cover of Time magazine. This is a big business now, so just get the fuck out of the way and give me my child. Anyway, just so a matter of course, I want you to know that the baby's 100% ours, right? And even the blood from the surrogate doesn't go through that baby. It's they just get nutrients from the umbilical cord. And people are like, oh, okay, right. It's 100% yours. A couple years later, my wife says, let's try it again. And like I said, okay, why not? Because I don't have any money. Why would I ever have money? And I know you guys think once you're in one movie, you're set for life. That's not the case. Here's the thing. There's one thing I will not have in my house. And that is money. If I go to the bank and go to the ATM and there's a balance in there, I'm going to extract all of it. I'm going to go home. I'm going to light a fire. I'm going to gather the kids around. I'm going to say, get out of here. Money. A couple years later, we try it again. This is actually a new surrogate, new fee. Because the first surrogate had already had 5 kids and then ours, and the doctor's like, hey, that uterus is done. You can't do anything. That horse can't work no more. Is that an indelicate metaphor? So we hire a new surrogate, the whole gamut, date, blah, blah, blah. No more weird San Diego Park. Actually paid more for the next one. So same thing. Now we're going to thaw out the next group of embryos. There's 4 of them in a group. They thaw them out, and the embryos either continue to grow or they fragment. So there's only 3 viable embryos. So we transfer those into the next surrogate. Clackety, clackety, clackety. Daddy wants a new baby. Boom. Well, we're pregnant right away. Now I'm out of town, and they go, hey, well, we're getting unusual high levels. And, oh, my goodness, lucky you, you're pregnant with twins. Well, awesome. Great. I mean, because I thought I could raise one more child standing in my head, but twins, like, that's going to double overnight. And that's just what? More what, fellas? Money. Okay, great. So we keep going, and yep, you're having twins, still having twins, still having twins. Great. So 10 months later, we have Sergeant and Audrey born. Again, 2 more great names. Boom. Now, at this point, we have 2 boys and 2 girls. That's 2 pair. So I don't know how many people in this room gamble, but you would probably call or raise on 2 pair anywhere. Take your money and walk away from the table and go, hey, man, I'm done. I'm good. At this point, I'd like to interject an idea about parenting and kids and, you know, talking about it. When you meet another couple that's either married or whatever, you go, oh, do you, the subject comes up, do you have kids? Yeah, we have kids. And they might not have kids. They go, we don't have kids, but we have a dog. That's not the same thing. That's a bad comparison. You might as well say, we don't have kids, but we have a bar of soap with a hair in it. So, is that... Are you a crazy person? What are you talking about? We don't have kids, but we have an old tractor tire in a shed that collects water in the summer and creates mosquitoes. Is that what you mean? No, that's not what I mean. If you have a dog, so what? I have a child I'm talking about. You have an animal. It's not the same. Yeah, but our dog's a rescue. So we're better than you and your kids. So anyway, I'm happy with the four kids. Life keeps going on. And my wife reminds me, what are we going to do with those embryos? Like, oh, I was hoping you would forget we had. And it costs $500 a year to keep them frozen. You keep getting this mail from the cryo center that says, hey, by the way, you've got babies stored here. You want to pay us the $500? I don't. It's like a ransom note. What are you going to do if I don't? You're going to sell them? You're going to give them away? Because that's slavery. We're running into a lot of moral and ethical issues here. Especially if your wife believes those are still babies. I'm like, ugh. Are they? Really? She's convinced of it. So, yeah, okay, I wasn't asking. I did ask, but yes, all right. Everyone's opinion is viable. So, in my wife's opinion, those are babies. So, I can't make that moral, ethical judgment for her. And I'm like, okay, well, I was in my later 40s at the time. I'm in my early 50s now, thank you. I look great, I know. And so, I was 47. I was like, fuck, man, really? More kids? Because I was thinking, they're microscopic, these embryos. You can't, I understand you just want to give them away, which is an option, but I couldn't do that. I couldn't give my kids away. I could now. So I thought, you know, they're microscopic. You can't even see them. Can't we just pray a lot and bake them into a meatloaf and eat them? Guys. Fellas, you gotta stay with me on this. So for my wife's birthday that year, I said, okay, I brought our next surrogate in, who was the second surrogate, who agreed to come down on my wife's birthday. I was like, hey, and she hands her a card, happy birthday, let's try it again. I'm like, okay. Because again, I don't have any money, so fuck it, why ever have any? So we tried again. Now, this is 10 years after the first group was frozen. So I'm thinking, there's no way these are still gonna be viable. So they thaw them out. There's only one viable embryo. The other's fragmented, which would happen in the natural matter, of course. Slip that into the surrogate. Not any clackety-clackety. Just, here we go. Boom, of course, we're pregnant. Great. All right. Here's the interesting thing about the final four kids. They're all conceived on the same day. It's pretty... And a friend of mine once reminded me that three different women have had my children. Not bad. It's like the old Conestoga wagon trail. So. Anyway, so we keep going. After about a month and a half, we go in for a sonogram, and the doctors say, huh, we see something. Like, what are you talking about? We see something. We'd like to do an amniocentesis, which usually means, oh, we think you might have a Down syndrome baby. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? Like, I see the light. It's going to take about 5 or 6 more minutes. So we're like, whatever. So they do the amniocentesis, and they say, we'd like to talk to you. And they put us in to a genetic counselor. I'm like, what's going on? Hey, how old are you? And all this stuff. And give us your family history. And now my wife was 34 when they pulled her eggs. And I was 34 when I jerked off into a cup with a woman fantasizing, watching me. Anyway, which, by the way, guys, is a viable thing if you want to keep your sex life alive. Always have someone peering in. So anyway, we see something. So the genetic counselor is getting our family history about mental retardation and Down syndrome and all this other stuff. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, it seems like your daughter is going to be severely mentally retarded. Now, this is the last one. And we're like, oh, man, we went too far. And what do you want to talk about? Like, well, we should go ahead and terminate. We're like, because I'm thinking, look how much money I spent. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to just terminate. So we keep going, and the sonograms become more frequent because you're hitting that 3-month mark, and they're like, we really need to talk to you about termination. And I'm like, should we have that conversation, honey? And she doesn't even reply. They told us that our daughter was her twisted limbs, and her nuchal folds were all messed up, and she had glowing in the bowel, and her brain wasn't growing, and that she had two holes in her heart, and we're going to have multiple surgeries. And, that's, fellas, that's some bread. Not to be selfish about it, but we're looking at a lot of money, a lot of man hours. And so my wife's response was, oh, I don't care if our daughter can't ever recognize us or see us or walk. She's going to have the most kick-ass wheelchair that anyone has ever seen. I'm like, okay, I can't argue with that. If I couldn't get her to buy into the meatloaf sandwich. So we keep going, and we keep getting worse and worse news. Now, we get bumped up to a specialist in the sonogram business. She's named genetic disorders because we're in L.A. She's a rock star, and I've been going back and forth out of town working in the movie business. Don't treat me differently. And so I'm coming home because we're now past termination. We're like, okay, we're just going for the ride, whatever happened. We keep getting more and more bad news. And so we're going to the fifth-month sonogram, and the genetic specialist, sonogram specialist, had told my wife that whenever she saw our name on the list, she would cry. That's how good it was for us, right? So we go in, and it's the day before Halloween. I flew in from Canada. We got a big flat screen TV. We're in Beverly Hills, and they've got like 3D sonograms. You can nearly see nipple. So she's got the jelly on the belly of our surrogate. She's doing her business. She's going back and forth. It's up on the big monitor. And she goes, huh. She said, this is miraculous. She said, there's nothing wrong with your baby. And we're like, what? She said, there's nothing wrong with your baby. And I'm crying. Because I'm thinking, do you know how much money I'm going to save? Guys. So here's what happens. It turns out what had happened was this rare thing. I assume no one here is even of bearing age, let alone having given birth because you're out on a Thursday night. So there's a rare thing called Fifth's disease, and if you've ever gone to preschool or if you've ever been a mother or a father to preschool, you'll see a posting occasionally. If you're pregnant, don't come around because there's been a case of reported Fifth's disease. And it is merely this. It's a flushed face and a rash on the belly that lasts one day, usually in toddlers. You don't see it in adults much. But it can be fatal to a fetus. And our surrogate's daughter had Fifth's disease. She thought her daughter got sunburned one day. It was only later she was like, oh my God, that's what happened. Because it's not an ongoing little sickness. It just happens one or two days, then it's gone. So our daughter had contracted parvovirus from the Fifth's disease. And so the parvovirus mimicked all the markers for mental retardation. So our fetus curled up to fight off the virus. And then she beat it, and then she was fine. So 9-10 months later, she's born. 100% healthy, absolutely nothing wrong with her. In fact, when she was born, one of the delivery nurses comes out and announces, baby looks like dad. So, great news for the baby. And Eve is a strong, kick-ass little girl. We named her Eve when we thought it was the worst part of it. No regrets. Still another great name. So, you know, every once in a while now, if we'll take her to the park or just out playing whatever, someone might comment truthfully, oh my God, what a beautiful little girl. And we'll say, yeah, she's a rescue. My name is David Koechner. I have 5 children. And I believe you should only replace you and your spouse. So I'm asking several of you in here to either only have one or none. Thank you.
That's all for this week's Classic Risk Singles episode. Now, don't miss out on our regular full-length episodes. There's a brand new one every Tuesday. And everything you might want to know about us is at risk-show.com.